Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 8, text number 18. Is that right? Rinam sadharano dharmaha.
Rinam sadharano dharmaha.
Savishaya. Savisheshaschayatrishaha. Sreninam Rajishan Sreninam Rajasinam Cha
Sreninam Rajasinam Cha
Dharma Kritcheshu Jivatam
Dharma Kritcheshu
Jivatam. Did you do any book distribution yesterday, Nanda? Okay. Rinam of human society. Sadharanaha. General. Dharmaha.
Religious affiliation.
Savisheshaha.
Specific.
Cha.
Also.
Yadrishaha.
As they are.
Sreninam.
Of
the particular three classes.
Rajashinam.
Of the saintly royal order. Cha.
Also.
Dharmaha.
Occupational duty.
Kritchereshu.
In the matter of distressed
conditions.
Jivatam.
Of the living beings. Please also explain what may generally be the common religious affiliations of human society, as well as their specific occupational duties in religion. The classification of the social orders, as well as the administrative royal orders, and the religious principles for one who may be in distress. Purport: the common religion of all classes of human beings, regardless of whosoever and whatsoever one may be, is devotional service. Even the animals may be included in devotional service to the Lord. And the best example is set by Sri Vajrangaji, or Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Sri Ram. As we have already discussed, even the Aborigines and cannibals can also be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, if they happen to be under the guidance of a genuine devotee of the Lord. In the Skanda Purana, there is a narration that a hunter in the jungle became the most enlightened devotee of the Lord by the guidance of Sri Narada Muni. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord can be equally shared by every living being. religious affiliation in terms of different countries and cultural circumstances is obviously not the common religion of the human being. Rather, the basic principle is devotional service. Even if a particular type of religious principle does not recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the followers still have to obey the disciplinary principles laid down by a particular leader. Such a leader of a religious sect is never the supreme leader, because such a circumstantial leader comes to the position of leadership after undergoing some penance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not, however, require to be under disciplinary action to become leader, as we see in the activities of Lord Krishna. The occupational duties of the castes and the orders of society, following the principles of livelihood, also depend on the principle of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that a person can achieve the highest perfection of life simply by awarding the results of his occupational duty unto the devotional service of the Lord. People following the principles of devotional service of the Lord can never be put into difficulty, and thus there cannot be any question of apad dharma, or religion in distress. That's described here. Krichchreshu dharmaha. As will be explained in this book by the greatest authority, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, there is no religion save and except the devotional service of the Lord, though this may be presented in different forms. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Dinatarinam. Maharaj Parikshit is putting questions before Sukadeva Goswami. And in this chapter, Maharaj Parikshit is laying the foundation for pretty much the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because there's a long sequence of questions here, which is appropriate. This is the system of parampara. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If one wants to learn the truth, then one has to humbly, respectfully approach the authorities on the matter and inquire submissively from them with appropriate questions and with a service mood. All of these qualities or all of these characteristics are important for the mechanics, if there are mechanics, apparently mechanics, of devotional service to take place. The right mood of the inquirer, the inquiry being placed respectfully and submissively at the or before the qualified teacher, and then the desire or the intent of the inquirer has to be supported or backed up with the correct service attitude. If any of those characteristics are missing, then the process will be faulty. Very important. So, how many verses of questions have we had so far? Please explain. Also, please describe. Please also describe. Then again, kindly describe. Please explain. Please explain. Will you please explain? Also explain. Will you kindly explain? So, you know, a dozen questions here. Not a dozen questions, a dozen there it is. Text 5. Text 7 it starts. Text 7 and we're up to text 18, so 11 verses. And there's more. And it's all inquiry about basic principles of existence. What, you know, who am I? What am I doing here? What is the purpose of life? How should I act in order to fulfill that purpose? These are the kind of questions that everybody should be asking. Not that we inquire like the animals simply interested in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam ja. This is what distinguishes the human beings from the animals. If we are just asking about this material level, basically, if our consciousness is simply focused on the gross bodily concept, then even though we may be in a human form of life, our consciousness is no better than that of an animal. Right? Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. You know, going to church or going to the temple or the holy place and simply praying for material benefits is, you know, not very elevated. Consciousness. There's some benefit. as Prabhupada is saying here, you know, what is the common religious principle? Maharaj Parikshit is asking in this particular verse, what is the common religious principle for all? So, you know, coming to the temple and offering prayers to the Lord is a common religious principle. But there's higher religious principles and sub-religious principles, if you like, or lower religious principles. And that should be, there should be discrimination between the different types of worshipper. When one comes to the temple simply to pursue the fulfilling of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, it's more elevated than the animals, but still the consciousness is hovering at the, you know, the selfish platform. What's in it for me? Whereas the religious principle of the elevated principles of religion are not focused on selfish pursuits, but rather the focus is on rendering service. As I mentioned before, the principle of seva is common to all. It's a common feature, a common principle. It's our dharma. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of as wetness and liquidity are to water, as to sweetness is, you know, the dharma of sugar. If it's salty, then it's not sugar, right? So the principle of rendering service is something that's common to all of us. Only, you know, we're serving our tongue, we're serving our belly, we're serving our wives, we're serving our husbands, we're serving our children, we're serving our mums and dads, we're serving the government. We want everybody to serve us, but actually we're all servants. Servants of the mind and the senses, the tongue. What is it? Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udrapasta vegam. The urge to speak, the mind's demands, anger. We're being pushed. So we're servants. What's that called? Go-das. Go-das, go. So that principle of servitude is natural to all of us. Cannot be avoided. It is perfected when the mood of coming to the temple is not Krishna, how you can serve me, but Krishna, how can I serve you? It's good to come to the temple and recognize the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. Not everybody does that. That's mentioned here. But this principle of service to the Lord is essential. This mood of servitude is the basis of devotional service. It's the basis of all action, but it is the beginning of developing our love for anyone. You know, if you want to please someone, then you go and serve them. Right? If you want to please your teacher, what do you do? What do you do? That's right. Do the homework on time. Don't misbehave. Whatever the teacher tells you to do, yes, sir.
Respect, teacher.
Respect. Yep. I don't know where there's a lot of that these days. So we serve them. We serve the teacher. We used to play up to the teacher. So the game would be to agitate the teacher so he'd throw the blackboard duster at you. And then if he missed, everybody would laugh at him. Although, I mentioned this before, we had Mr. Falkenberg in Port Pirie High School. He was very strict and very stern. And he was my Latin teacher, or our Latin teacher. And but everybody liked him, right? But he was really, you know, had a commanded respect because he was very stern and serious, sober character. So the children didn't mind doing what he, you know, whatever he said, you would do it out of respect. Anyway, this principle of finding out this mood of service is essential. The service mood is essential for one to make progress in spiritual life. That's the beginning of this basic dharma, religiosity. So when people come to the temple and they're looking for some benefit, we can understand, you know, that service mood is not developed. It's more in a mood of serve my senses, serve my mind, serve my family. But more elevated understanding is where the candidate recognizes their role as a servant. This is essential element of the reception of transcendental knowledge. We're seeing that here. Maharaj Parikshit is very humbly presenting himself and inquiring submissively before Sukadev Goswami. So Maharaj Parikshit is the exemplar of devotional service in the mood of hearing. Inquiring and hearing. Certainly inquiring. And Sukadev Goswami is the exemplar of devotional service for one who is speaking. With these ingredients, he's the authority. So one should approach the authority. One should and Sukadev Goswami represents Vyasadev. Vyasadev represents Krishna in this principle of parampara. And in this way, the teachings are disseminated and received through disciplic succession. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions, and it's interesting, you know, it's not just for the human beings. You become a human being, basically, if you follow the process of devotional service. But in this day and age, most humans are humans in name only. In reality, what is described as Dvipada Pashu. You know, when the sages at Naimisharanya heard that people would be killing the cow, they were shocked. But in this day and age, nobody even blinks an eyelid. Or they may complain about the animals being treated, you know, humanely, but they're still killing them. You know, their concern is, oh, you're not killing the animals in a humane way. Right? So they're still no better than animals. So, you know, the quality of the candidate in, or of the potential candidates in this day and age is very, very low. But the process of devotional service is so powerful that it purifies anybody who comes into contact with it. That even the animals can be engaged in devotional service. Prabhupada gives the example of Hanuman. I thought of a few examples last night, actually. I should have started this off from where I was anyway. Here we go. So the first example that Prabhupada gives us is Hanuman. Who's the second example that Prabhupada gives in this purport? Yeah, what's his name? Migrari the Hunter. Migrari the Hunter was killing animals. He's a human being, but he's behaving like an animal. And Prabhupada makes a point that anyone can make progress. Anyone can be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord if they happen to be under the guidance of a genuine devotee. Right? But they have to have that mood of service. Right? You can't go to your guru and ask for service, and then when he gives you service, say, oh no, I can't do that. Right? Can you make it a bit easier for me? Oh, I'm feeling a bit tired. No. Submission means inquiry and then seva, do some, you know, one has to be prepared to do the service. And it may be challenging. You know, Rupa Goswami mentions in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion that in the first 10 items of devotional service, one is, you know, one has to take shelter of a guru and then inquire from him and then, you know, one has to be prepared to give up things that one might ordinarily want to keep or accept, and to accept things which one might ordinarily not. Right? So sometimes there'll be tests. But if we want to achieve, if we want the benefit of serving the spiritual master, then sometimes we have to accept the challenges. You know, Srila Prabhupada was travelling in India with his disciples. They just happened to have a whistle stop in Delhi. Prabhupada told Guru Das, Jamuna and Banu Das, he wasn't Banu Swami, I want you to stop off here and start a temple. Right? I want you to get off the train. They were thinking, yes, we're going with Prabhupada to Mumbai or wherever it was he was going. But they just happened to stop in Delhi and Prabhupada says, you have to hop up here now and start a temple. Okay? What do you reckon? How many of you would be prepared to do that. If we just went for a drive to Adelaide and then I said, okay, here's border town, I want you to hop out here and start a temple. Well, let's make it a little bit easier. Ballarat. Huh? Now these days, oh Prabhu, but what about this and what about that? What about the other thing? So they hopped off the train and they did it. No arguments. Of course, Prabhupada is, unique amongst acharyas in that he's our founder acharya. And, his mission was... But the mission is always acute, actually, when you think about it. There are so many living entities that are hovering on this mental platform, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Their activities are such that even though they're behaving like animals, they, in the human form of life, have the greatest opportunity. And so we should be giving it to them. More animals. Let's just have a look at... Let's finish off the animals while we're at it. Who's another animal in the Shastra who's famous for their devotional service? They wouldn't be mentioned if they weren't. They're famous because they're mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Garuda, yeah, I got Garuda. But yes, Garuda was the next one that I got. What's the next one? Gajendra, that was the next one that I found. Or I thought of. What's after that? Horse? I think you find that he's an incarnation. No. Examples of animals engaged in devotional service that are famous, that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam or in some other scripture. I didn't think of him. Jatayu, the bird, who was killed by Ravana, right? Yes, whose dog? Nimai's dog. Shivananda Shane's dog is more certainly mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't think Nimai's dog is mentioned. Who else in Chaitanya Leela? Or animals living in a particular... Yeah, Jarikanda. The animals in Jarikanda. Lord Chaitanya kicked the lions and the tigers and they jumped up shouting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. What about in modern times? Our cows, yeah, cows are serving Krishna. More specifically, devotional service. Those animals doing direct devotional service. Because that's direct cleaning. Lugging around the rubbish bin in Mayapur is cleaning. Cleaning the holy dham, cleaning the temple. So that's devotional service. So the animals are benefiting from that activity. The Padyatra bulls. I was thinking of the elephants. The elephants in the Guru Vayu temple that take the deities around are now elephants in Mayapur that carry Radha and Krishna on the procession. They're performing devotional service. So they get benefit from that activity. So it's interesting that one, the vision of the transcendentalist sees opportunities to engage all living entities. Not that, this one's in that body or the other one's in another body and therefore... Of course, we do discriminate. Devotees would sometimes become enthusiastic about, feeding the fish in the fish pond. or feeding the pigeons. Oh yeah, we want to save the spirit souls. Don't have to worry about the pigeons in this place. Or the fish in the fish pond. They get plenty of prasadam. So generally we focus on the human beings. Well, the living entities in the human form of life. But the great transcendentalists see everybody equally and give them equal opportunities to engage in devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada actually we were discussing this with Atul Krishna the other day. He was saying, you know, that the members of the Gaudiya Math would criticize Srila Prabhupada's preaching strategies. And he made a comment. He was quoting another devotee. He was saying, you know, that the members of the Gaudiya Math wouldn't join ISKCON. And they criticized Prabhupada because Prabhupada was preaching to the hippies. And to the, you know, he was teaching and preaching to the the lower class in society. You know, the Lower East Side was a slum neighborhood. And Prabhupada had gone from the Bowery, which is the absolute, you know, rock bottom. And he'd gone up one step to the slums. Right? That's where all the poor people would go. The Puerto Ricans, the Polish Jews, Polish and Russian Jews, different migrants, different waves of migrants when they came into America, then they would go to the place where it was the cheapest to live. So that was the Lower East Side. And then in the 60s, it was the hippies and the runaways. So Prabhupada was criticized, you're just preaching to the hippies, you're not preaching to the high class people. Why aren't you preaching to the high class people? That was Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's strategy. Preaching to the intelligentsia, appealing to the leaders of society. And that strategy worked in India. But when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur passed away, then the whole of Calcutta closed down. You know that? The city was in mourning. Did I say country? City. The city of Calcutta was in mourning. They had a holiday. He was such a highly respected personality. That it was a very effective strategy. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, in his understanding of the culture of America, which he, you know, analysed and worked out, he realised need to go where we need to preach where there's some receptivity. You know, for Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, it's interesting, Prabhupada encouraged those devotees right from the beginning. Prabhupada was encouraging them. Everybody. You know, there's the story of the Prabhupada's giving class in 26 Second Avenue and a drunken bum comes in and disturbs everything. Then walks out, says he's coming back, and he walks out. Then he comes back with toilet rolls and hand cleaning towels. and makes a disturbance when he comes in. But Prabhupada, you know, accepts it all. In the Lilamrita, it's mentioned by Satsarup Maharaj. Suddenly, the old derelict returns, announcing his entrance. How are ya? He's carrying something. He manoeuvres his way through the group. Right, so there, 22nd Avenue is a bit like half of this temple room, but it's that long. So there's all people sitting in the room, so he manoeuvres his way through the room to the back of the room where Prabhupada's sitting, creates a complete disturbance, and opens the toilet room door, puts two rolls of bathroom tissue inside, closes the door, turns to the sink, sits some paper towels on top, and puts two more rolls of bathroom tissues and more paper towels under the sink. He then stands and turns around toward the Swami and the audience. The Swami looks at him and asks, "What is this?" The bum is silent now. He has done his work. Prabhupada began to laugh. The bum exits. Just see. Prabhupada now addresses his congregation. It is a natural tendency to give some service. Right? So Prabhupada could see in his personality, even though he's a bum, he's willing to do service. Just see how he is out of order. But he thought that here is something, let me give some service. Just see how automatically it comes. This is natural. So this is our business in one sense. To understand the potency of devotional service and the opportunities that it brings to the living entities for elevation. Some it'll be gradual. Most it'll be gradual elevation, like even the people going to church, for example. Or the people just coming to the temple. You know, I hear sometimes that devotees refer to the people who come to Crossways or the people who come to the temple as karmis. They're the karmis. I used to think like that, the karmis, what are they doing here? What do they think they're doing? There's so much in Maya. But if they're coming to the temple to take prasadam, they're not karmis anymore. They're devotees. Their devotional life has started. Devotional practice is so powerful that anybody who engages, that's why we go out and chant Hare Krishna. We're giving them an opportunity to hear the holy name. So as soon as they start hearing, they're engaged unknowingly, yes, but they're engaged in devotional service. This is Agyata Sukriti. Very, very powerful. It wasn't so long ago, or maybe even if it was a long time ago, our devotional service began with the mercy of the devotees, and they're engaging us in Agyata Sukriti. A lot of what we do is engaging people in acts of devotion that they don't even know about. Right? But that's the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You know, he could be criticized for not preaching to the intelligentsia, but the intelligentsia in this age, they're actually quite stupid. And they're propensity to render service is heavily covered. So we need to be able to identify those persons who are actually willing and able to do service and then engage them accordingly. And then, you know, with diligence and intelligence, then work on engaging the others. But it's not difficult. Prasadam distribution, book distribution, prasadam distribution. Initially, the activity is agyata, unknown. But gradually, as one comes to understand And one develops the propensity to inquire, and this is how we can tell the qualification of a potential candidate is by their inquiry and their submission. Submission and inquiry, you know, challenging inquiry, you know, who do you think you are? That's not the kind of inquiry we're looking for. Huh? But, you know, who am I? What is the purpose of, you know, these kind of inquiries and submission, they're important to test. Otherwise, we have to engage people in the Agyata Sukriti stage. And even if there's some discrepancy in a person's behavior, still they need to be encouraged. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mammananyabak. This is actually very elevated here. There may be some disqualification in a person's character, but if they're engaging in devotional service, then we encourage them. Actually, even if they're not engaged in devotional service, we encourage them. This is the level of compassion that's manifest in the character of a devotee. You know, when Jesus was being crucified, what did he say? Ah, you guys, you're all a bunch of commies. You're going to hell for putting me on the cross. Huh? He didn't say that. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How's that? When we think about it. That's compassion. Lord Chaitanya was preaching to the... Well, he was preaching to the intelligentsia, but he was also preaching to the animals. Huh? Of course, you know, he's Krishna, so he's able to liberate anybody. Right? But under the guidance of a genuine devotee, you know, following in the example of Srila Prabhupada, devotional service to the Lord can be equally shared by every living being. That's what Prabhupada says at the end of this paragraph. That was Prabhupada's mood. Now, devotional service may manifest in a variety of ways. And he mentions that here. Religious affiliation in terms of different countries and cultural circumstances is obviously not the common religion of the human being. Rather, the basic principle is devotional service. Now, what does that mean? Religious affiliation in terms of different countries and cultural circumstances is obviously not the common religion of the human being. Why is that? Jana. Yes, it's moulded or it's influenced by material considerations. You know, service to God is not the domain of any culture or any class or any community or any nation or any society. So one has to understand that, and you know, we see a variety of religious practice, but common to all of them is devotional service according to the 9 items: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving, you know, a gradual progression or development to friendship and atmanivedanam, surrendering everything. So these qualifications we can find in all religious practice, if we set aside the variety of local considerations. But the religious principles are the same. In the Nectar of Devotion, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami provides us with all of the basic principles. The 64 items of devotional service are enunciated. These are the principles. There may be some difference in application, but that difference in application will be done under the guidance of the spiritual master, under the guidance of a devotee. This is one of the reasons why we see a variety of religious practice. Even in some cases, we see devotional practice mixed with some activities that are not devotional at all. Just like, you know, this idea that one can slaughter an animal and do it in a way that's acceptable to God is a principle that actually offends. Really, when you think about it, offends the sensitivities of those who embrace compassion. You know, we're all sons of the Father, sons of God. And the Father doesn't like to see one son exploit another, isn't it? And you know, the principle of compassion or mercy is especially in Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Treat others as you would like to be treated. So hands up, how many people would like to have their throat slit? You. Huh? No. Oh, better switch my phone off. Now I think about it. So, you know, this principle of compassion or mercy is we should be merciful and compassionate to the animals, not kill them. Yet we see in some religious traditions that animal killing, you know, is allowed, encouraged. And there's some benefit from the religious practices, although, you know, animal killing will mean there's significant reactions that come as a result of that. Bad reactions. But still, you know, we encourage the worshipper to offer his respects and offer obeisances to God. That's beneficial for them. The animal killing, not beneficial, not necessary. In some emergency situation, maybe. But in most situations, avoidable. And so best to be avoided. This is service to others. So Prabhupada makes a point here that Krishna may not be worshipped as the supreme personality in these religious traditions, but somehow or other, the practitioner or the follower is following the leader because the leader has performed some austerities and penances and has become the leader of that particular religious group or religious tradition. Whilst there's recognition of, or whilst there's no recognition of Krishna, still there's obedience. You know, there's that mood of service, right? That's required. You know, better to serve Krishna and to serve Krishna through the system that he recommends. That's the parampara. You know, if there's no parampara, then actually they're not Vaishnavas. They're not true servants. But again, you know, within these within religious traditions, or what does Prabhupada say here? Common religion of the human being. There's still the disciplinary principles. So there's this principle of service. It's not pure devotional service. Savai pum samparo dhammo yato bhakti radoksaje. You know, there's a definition of what the type of devotional service that Prabhupada is referring to. Right, the principles of obedience to the highest authority is properly manifest in devotional service that exhibits the principles enunciated in the Bhagavatam 1.2.6. Anybody know what 1.2.6 is? That verse that I just mentioned. I've got it here. Ahoituki apratihata. Yayatma suprasidati. The supreme dharma or occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service under the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy Krishna. That says here the self. But also, because Krishna is the Supreme Self, right? He's a Paramatma. So it has to be pleasing to Krishna, and then it'll automatically be pleasing to us. And there's also another definition. Where is it? Just wait here. Ah, here we go. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 19, text 167, which is ultimately Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. This is our definition. This is the Paribhasa Sutra of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruitive action. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Karma, what is it? Jnana karma janavritam. So devotional service that's devoid of, not covered by anavritam means covered by. Or, you know, so this is the highest practice of devotional service. Free from any material consideration. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. This is the highest level of devotional. This is pure devotional service. Everyone should come to that platform, right? But we see, more often than not, the higher level mixed with the lower. Like we see it in our own activities and we see it in the activities of others. The principle of service is there, and so there's some benefit, but it is mixed up because there's still some material motivations. But the success of all of these activities is actually dependent on the mood of service. That's what needs to be encouraged. At the lowest level, it needs to be encouraged. On the highest level, it needs to be encouraged. In the intermediate level, it needs to be encouraged. We should be at that intermediate level. The intermediate level means the Madhyamadhikari, which means a person who's in the clearing stage of devotional service. When we perform devotional service and it's mixed with the lower levels, material considerations, then it's offensive. It's aparad. middle class devotee is the Majjhimadikari is where devotional service is performed with a desire to clear away these material motivations so we can come to the highest level of devotional service, which is the most satisfying for Krishna, the most satisfying for us. Yayatma suprasiddhati. Suprasiddhati. Siddhati means what? Happiness? Prasiddhati. Suprasiddhati. Like we have the word super. Right? This is where we get the word super from. Super duper. Huh? Suprasiddhati. But yeah, desire. Abhilash. Desires. What is it? Mora e abhilash. My only desire. What is it? Mora e abhilash. Vilas kunje diovas. Give me residence in the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. Right? Abhilash. Abhilashita shunyam, without desire for jnana or karma. Ritualistic activities to be elevated, or activities to be elevated in material knowledge, or in the knowledge of monism, but rather in the knowledge, we want to be elevated in the knowledge of devotional service. We want to elevate others in the knowledge of devotional service's purpose. Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring here from Sukadeva Goswami. How do I, you know, make advancement? How do the, well, so many questions, you know, what are the duties? How do the devotees act? Who is there who doesn't want to make progress in devotional life? So he's inquiring about those who do and those who don't. We need to, and this should be our inquiry also. Understand these, so we understand these principles. The occupational duties of the castes and the orders of society following the principles of livelihood also depend on the principle of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that a person can achieve the highest perfection of life simply by awarding the results of his occupational duty under the devotional service of the Lord. Right? Even if there's some fault, Krishna says, every activity is covered by faults. Right? But if we offer the results of our activities, yat karosi, yat asnasi, yat jahosi, tadasi, yat tapasyasi kuntaya, tat karushva madapranam. That's the verse after, what is it? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Bhaktya mama bid. What is it? Offer a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, and I will accept it. Right? So, this offering of service. You know, it's very nice when we do the aarti. When we're doing the aarti to the Lord, then we're just offering. Right? Pretty amazing. We're just... Wait. It's a mood of... It's a very pleasing, pleasant mood. Where we're offering everything to Krishna. Some incense. It's a very simple activity when you think about it, but it's the mood of offering that comes out natural to us. As Prabhupada said, the bum, look at him, he's naturally serving. He's bringing in the toilet paper and the hand towels. Why we put the hundi in front of the temple? Right? So that persons could be benefited when they give something to Krishna. They give $2. Of course, they're saying, Krishna, here's my $2. I'm looking forward to my $1 million next week. Huh? You know, we're not putting a hundi out for our benefit. I saw a movie. I didn't actually see the movie. Well, I did see the movie, but I wasn't watching the movie. On the Air India flight to Delhi. One of the reasons why I hate those in-seat things, you know, because you're trying to have a sleep or something, and you wake up and you've got to look at, there's a screen here, a screen there. They're all around you. So anyway, somebody over the aisle from me was watching this movie. I don't know what it was called, but it was about this fella who was telling everybody to drag down the idols in the temple. It was horrible, actually. And saying, you God men, you just take money from people. You're cheating them. Maybe there are some who do. But this is the reason why religion gets a bad name, because the practitioners are just taking money from people. But the reason why we have the hundi there is so people come along and can give to Krishna. Right? They benefit from that. Because if we take the money and use it for ourselves, then that's not benefiting anybody. Right? But this mood of service is so important. Has to be encouraged, developed. And that mood of offering, of giving, which is natural, that mood of serving, makes even our material activities successful. Because we take the results of those activities and we give it to, so that even if he puts $2 in the hundi, that's the results of his work. And so there's some benefit from that, $2 worth. He's thinking, $2. Oh boy, I'm giving so much. Right? I should be rewarded, you know, for giving this such a big amount, $2. What is Prabhupada? Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami recommend 50%. 50% of your earnings. Let's take out rent, you know, tax, all of these things. Take all of those things out. Then the money that you get left over after you've paid all of your essentials, give 50% of that to Krishna. What do you reckon? You'd be living a simple life. A much more simple, what does Prabhupada say? We're teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. If we all gave 50% of what we earn, we certainly would be living a simpler life. No loss from doing that. Very beneficial, actually. Because that 50% then would be going to ISKCON, and within ISKCON, we follow the principles, you know, the practices of devotional service, which means preaching for the benefit of others. So much prasadam we give away, so much puja and worship that we perform on behalf of the whole community, basically. So when they come and give donations, then all of that should be offered to the deity. And we see that. That's why people come. People come to be engaged in devotional service, because it's powerful and it's satisfying. I remember when we used to go on Sankirtan. We'd go out on a daily basis or go out on a weekly basis, and you'd be dealing all day with materialistic persons, materialistic people, and trying to get donations or contributions or selling things, you know, to raise funds for the temple. And then it'd always be a relief. You'd drive down Kerford Road and turn left into the lane, come down the back lane, then drive in the temple, and then, back home. Huh? Such a relief to get in the back gate and go into the cool room and see what prasadam was there. Or look forward to take your wig off. Oh, my head's crushed. We used to wear wigs in those days. Don't need to wear wigs now. bald head is considered fashionable. But just the relief of coming to the temple. I remember my wife and I, when we first started going to the temple, we'd be in the temple and doing service, and then we'd go home and say, "Phew, that was intense. Whew. Glad to be home." And then we wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, I've got to get back to the temple. Got to get back into it." Huh? Because that mood of, you can't get that taste of devotional service anywhere else. And I know many, you know, many devotees have come to me and they've said to me, the best years of my life were the time when I spent living in the ashram. You know, now I've got to work and I've got to pay the bills and the rent and look after the husband and the kids. Or I've got to work hard to pay the bills and look after my wife and the kids. But they always say, you know, the best time that I ever remember was when I was in the... Of course, when they were in the ashram, I said, "Oh, Prabhu, I'm fried, it's too hard, I don't want to do this anymore." But when they leave the ashram, they're saying, "Oh, no, that was the best... They were the best times of my life. What did I leave for?" Huh? This is Maya. Maya's pulling down potency. And it's that sweet taste of devotional service. You know, it can't be unlocked. You can't taste it simply by licking the outside of the jar. If you want to know how sweet devotional service is, you've got to open up the jar and put your finger in and taste it. It can't be speculated. It's something that we engage in and we love it. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Despite the effort, you know, isn't it amazing, you know, that example of Jesus Christ, when you think about it, he so enjoyed doing his service that when they were killing him, and so Prabhupada, you know, says here, people following the principles of devotional service of the Lord can never be put into difficulty. Right? See, this is the mood. People, we think, "Oh God, we've got all these problems. Got all these bills to pay, or I've got all of these challenges. The neighbours are giving us a hard time." Whatever, there's so many challenges in devotional service. My mind hurts. This is one of the biggest challenges. Right? My mind is out of control and it doesn't want to be disciplined. And so when I get asked to do something, "Oh, do I have to do that? I've already got 20,000 things to do, and now you're giving me one more. Oh, I can't do it anymore." Right? Mind. One of the biggest problems is the mind hurts. What does Krishna say about the mind? Sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Huh? What does Krishna say? Exactly, yeah, that's not the sixth chapter. Oh no, maybe it is. Yeah, it is the sixth. Well, what else does he say about controlling your enemy? The mind. Huh? Yes, ignore it. But ignore it, that's detachment. The mind says, my example, or an example, go to the top of the Rialto building and the mind says, "Jump!" Right? What do? Jump? No, the intelligence says, "Don't jump. There's going to be a big mess at the bottom." So, one absorbed in devotional service can easily control the mind. Because it's engaging in devotional service. It's engaged. So, it is interesting. Prabhupada says here, people following the principles of devotional service can never be put into difficulty. And thus there cannot be any question of apad dharma or religion in distress. We might be in distress. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Buddha, Prashanatma, na sochati, na kamchati. So on this platform of spiritual activity, of transcendental activity, one doesn't hanker or lament. So Jesus was being crucified. He didn't complain, oh, what are they doing to me? He said, forgive them. So deeply absorbed he was in his spiritual vision. He took it as Krishna's arrangement. As will be explained in this book by the greatest authority, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, there is no religion save and except the devotional service of the Lord, although this may be presented in different forms. So, I've gone on for a fair bit. Are there any comments or questions? Let me just have a quick look at my notes. Yeah. The principle of obedience to the highest authority. This is, in other words, this mood of service is very important. One needs a very broad vision of devotional service. Understand it, you know, not that it's this religion or that religion or another religion. You know, our religion is the best and we're right. No, there are principles of devotional service based on service which is common to all and which elevates all gradually. Some more completely and more quickly than others. There are those who squabble, no, our religion is better than your religion. No, devotional service is good for everybody and elevates all. Right? Not that we fight over our particular. Does that make sense? Have you heard of the six blind men? Have you heard the poem about the six blind men? You haven't heard the poem? No? Do you want to hear the poem? I found it yesterday. Actually, it's a very nice poem. It was written by John Godfrey Saxe, who lived from 1816 to 1887. So this story's been around for a while. It was six men of Hindustan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall. The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, ho, what have we here? So very round and smooth and sharp, to me 'tis mighty clear, this wonder of an elephant is very like a spear. The third approached the animal, and happening to take the squirming trunk within his hands, thus boldly up and spake, I see, quoth he, the elephant is very like a snake. The fourth reached out an eager hand and felt about the knee. What most this wondrous beast is like is mighty plain, quoth he. 'Tis clear enough the elephant is very like a tree. The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear, said, even the blindest man can tell what this resembles most. Deny the fact who can. This marvel of an elephant is very like a fan. The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope than seizing on the swinging tail that fell within his scope, I see, quoth he, the elephant is very like a rope. And so these men of Hindustan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right and all were in the wrong. Okay, I think we'll finish here. Gajraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai, Mahaprasadam ki jai. So it's now only 20 past 8, so we can start class again. Actually, I finished class early today.